This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Congressman Barney Frank announced today he will not seek re-election in 2012. After more than 30 years in office, the 71-year-old Frank, one of Washington's most liberal voices, says it's time to retire.
Frank made the announcement this afternoon from Newton City Hall, his hometown. He cited several reasons for his decision, including what he described as a cultural change in American politics.
To my disappointment, the leverage you have within the government has substantially diminished. The anger in the country, the currents of opinion are such so that the kind of inside work I have felt best at is not going to be as productive for the foreseeable future, and not until we make some changes.
And joining us now on the line is Congressman Barney Frank. And Congressman, welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
You cited several factors for the decision behind your retirement. We just heard in that clip you talked about this cultural change in American politics. Say more about that, if you would.
Well, you have a takeover of one of our two parties, the Republican Party, by a very militant, very ideologically motivated, extremely conservative group of people who really do not believe in government as a potential positive force in our lives. And that's also being reinforced, frankly, by the media. The most active people in politics, on both the left and the right, now tend to read and hear only what they agree with.
So
you have left and right in parallel universes. For people who agree with me more, it's MSNBC, it's various blogs. For people on the right, it's talk radio and Fox News. And they not only have different values, they have different facts that they bring to the table. That makes it very hard for any kind of compromise. But the biggest factor is that the Republican Party today has gone so far to the right. And what's happened is, ordinarily, when a party gets as ideologically far out as the Republicans are today, they pay a price at the polls. But we had this, from my standpoint, unfortunate coincidence of a good deal of anger in the country over the recession, in which we, the Democrats, got unfairly blamed for things that were essentially left to us by George Bush. And so, while the Senate, a few Republicans lost Senate seats because they were too extreme, in the House, people who got nominated who ordinarily would have lost won. So at least for now, you have that very extreme faction in power.
But Congressman, you've been a good, you're not known as a shrinking violet. You've been quite a fighter over the years. Are you saying that you're just tired of the fight with these folks?
No, I'm shifting it to a different terrain.
Okay.
I think the ground game is going to be less productive. It's time to take to the air. I think that I have felt that I'm good at working with other people in Congress, including some conservatives who might disagree, and trying to use the process to the maximum to frame issues in the best way to get the results I want. What I'm saying now is that given the rigidity of these people, and then also given, look, public opinion has shifted. I think the public unfairly blames the government for some of the problems that were caused by the private sector. I think that's shifting back. But what I'm essentially saying is that at this point, the fight, I think, is more in trying to mobilize public opinion than to work with those election results that the public opinion gives you.
So how do you do that, though?
A little more clearly.
Okay.
Rather than wait and work with the consequences of the elections, I want to spend more time trying to influence those outcomes.
So you want to get involved in the air war, you said, for example.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me just ask you this, though. I mean, I'm sure this wasn't an easy decision for you. I mean, I'm sure there are folks out there who have supported you who are sorry to see you go. How difficult was this? And are you worried that as a kind of dying breed, you're known as one of the most liberal folks up there, that there are going to be fewer of you up there?
No, in the first place, there are a large number of people with whom I agree. There's an age factor. I am, as you said, 71. I'll be this current term will end a few months short of my 73rd birthday. I would have assumed it was clear to people that I was leaving at some point. And in fact, I was only going to do one more term, which is part of a problem, by the way, because it's kind of hard to go to new constituents, which I will be getting as well as redistricting, and say, please, 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 can I be your congressman, but only for 2 years. And then after 2 years, all the problems I'm working on, I'm just going to jettison them.
Now, wait, let me mention that because you just made reference to the new district that was redrawn. And in Newton this afternoon, you mentioned that was one of the reasons, right?
Right, it's what I just said. Here's the problem. First of all, I would have to campaign in a very substantially different district, more than 300,000 new people, which is very time-consuming. And I have still the responsibility of trying to defend financial reform as the senior Democrat on the Financial Services Committee from Republicans' efforts to undermine it. Secondly, as I go and campaign with the new people, it's a little hard to say to them, look, one of the things I'm proud of is that I do very good work trying to help people with their problems vis-a-vis the federal government, but they can rarely be promptly resolved. And to go and say, look, for the next 2 years, I'll take all your problems, but if I haven't fixed any of them by the end of 2014, I'm out of here, and you can start all over again. That's just not a very responsible way to proceed. So that was also, it's one thing to continue in the current district.
Sure.
It's another to go on into a new one.
Are you worried, though, that some of the liberal causes that you've championed for so long may not get a fair hearing or may not get the hearing that you would like them to get once you leave Washington?
No. In the first place, there are a lot of people with whom I agree who are in positions of influence. Secondly, I will be spending the next year working hard, and there are going to be some climactic moments here. For instance, we are going to do deficit reduction, I believe, in this coming year, and I am determined to make a reduction in our excessive overseas military spending a part of that. So, frankly, it's not going to be as important what happens in 2013 and 14. Next year is going to be the critical year for that with sequestration. Secondly, people have a great deal of influence in American politics without being in elected office. If you made a list of the people who have had the greatest impact, more of them would be not in elected office than who are. We have a whole range of things. And what I'm saying is I do think at this point, influencing public opinion and electoral outcomes is at least as important as working within the system that is the product of those electoral outcomes.
Interesting. So how are you going to do that? You mentioned the air wars. What's next for you?
I plan to lecture. Mm-hmm. I plan to do a lot of media work. And one of the things I will most be able to do now, because I've been able to do some of that while I'm in office, is to write. I really want to communicate some ideas about what public policy ought to be, the way the process works, some other issues. And some people can carry on a very active life and then, you know, write for 2 hours a day or 3 hours a day. I can't do that. The blank screen, when I see it, I am easily distracted. So if I've got a major job to do, like being a member of Congress or, you know, doing anything else, I'm not going to get much written. And I really do want to write. I have things that I feel are important. And so I will be spending a lot of time writing and then a lot of time speaking and doing TV.
Well, Congressman, you've earned the right to do that for sure. Let me just ask you one more question before I let you go. You mentioned at the beginning this increasing polarization in Washington that makes the kind of the kind of process that you were so intimately involved with for all those years much more difficult to do. What has to change? Will it change? Can it ever change to bring back those?
I have one. Yeah, you phrase that accurately except for one thing. You said polarization in Washington. No, the polarization is in the country.
In the country, okay.
Washington is not an autonomous system. Nobody parachuted in through the dome to become a member of the U.S. House.
Got it.
But it reflects the public. So I'll tell you what, the single most important thing that needs to be changed.
Sure.
People who are not ideologically deeply committed have to start voting in primaries. The problem in particular is that the Republican primary electorate has become one of the most right-wing entities in American history. That's why you have this, I think, rather depressing spectacle in the Republican debates of them tripping over each other to get as far right as possible. The problem is that people don't vote in primaries. It becomes a vicious cycle. People say, oh, I don't like that party. I'm not voting. People need to vote in the party's primaries. People need to get involved at an earlier stage. You wait till the November election, it's too late.
Congressman Barney Frank, thank you so much for taking
You're
our time
welcome.
Today. That's Congressman
yeah.
Barney Frank talking about his announcement today that after serving 16 terms in Congress, he will not run for re-election next year.